This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg Podcast, brought to you as always by the Hockey Podcast Network. My name is Nick Berlansky, and as always, I am joined by Nick Horwat, and the Pittsburgh Penguins have just kept on rolling. Last episode was the first in a long time that we got to talk about strictly wins, and the Penguins continued that trend on Monday night with a 3-1 victory over the Winnipeg Jets. So we will be breaking down that game to start off this episode. Then we have a couple discussion questions, and then we're going to close off this episode like we do every Thursday episode with our shout-outs and call-outs. But first and foremost, Horwat, happy Thanksgiving to you, and happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners tuning in on American Thanksgiving. I guess I should say our Canadian listeners already had Thanksgiving about a month ago, but happy Thanksgiving to all of our American listeners.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy better Thanksgiving. It comes at a better time. Well, I guess I shouldn't say it comes at a better time, considering people celebrate Christmas long before they celebrate Thanksgiving in the States. But anyway, no, I mean, Canada just has nothing to do in November now. I guess they got Remembrance Day and everything, but hey, Thanksgiving is Thanksgiving, fam. It gets dull, especially in Canada. They need that little get together like we have, just in the middle of Halloween and Christmas. It's nice. I call it the fancy dress up holiday.
Really? Because I wear sweatpants almost all day.
Oh, see, you don't do it right then. You don't. You always have to look fresh. You always have to look good, especially on holidays, get-togethers, whatever it may be. But like Christmas, same thing, except you're allowed to wear ugly sweaters. So it's just the nice pants, a nice pair of shoes, get the hair done up good. I don't know. I like getting dressed up for things, so I use Thanksgiving as a hell of an excuse. And also, Megan and I had our first little Thanksgiving living together yesterday. We made food for about five people for the two of us.
Plenty of leftovers.
And she went home for Thanksgiving and didn't take any of it. So it's all mine, and I'll probably be getting more during my family's Thanksgiving comes out on. So, hey, I'm going to be fat and happy for the next couple of days.
I mean, as is most people across America, that is what Thanksgiving is you shove your face until you cannot eat anymore, and then you put it in the refrigerator so whenever there is just a modicum of space left in your stomach, you go shovel down more turkey. That is the entire point of this holiday at this point.
That and watching football. Are there any good football games? I think we discussed
this last time. We will definitely get into that when we get to the shout-outs and call-outs section. I will tease that as much. But let's get into the Penguins talk right now, because the Pittsburgh Penguins are riding high on a three-game win streak after a really dominant Canada road trip. And we'll talk about the entire road trip in a little bit. But on Monday night, they defeat the Winnipeg Jets by a score of 3-1. It did not look good right out of the gates. The Winnipeg Jets started off really hot. I mean, basically the entire first half of the game, they were dominating the Pittsburgh Penguins, keeping the Penguins away from the front of the net. Connor Hellebuyck had a couple of opportunities that he faced, mainly against Jake Guentzel, but most of the time it was a first opportunity. There were no rebounds given up. The Penguins were losing puck battles. It did not look good, and it got a little bit worse whenever Dominic Toninato made it 1-0 in favor of the Winnipeg Jets. And at this point, which we've mentioned a couple times on the show, at that point, the Penguins had not won a game after conceding the first goal of the game. So obviously that's a little bit of foreshadowing. Most people know how the game ended. But that ended Tristan Jarry's shutout streak as well. At 160 minutes and 14 seconds, he was not able to beat his own record. But still, nonetheless, a really good run for Tristan Jarry.
It's hard to break your own record, is it not?
It's hard to break any record, really.
Yeah. Plus, we don't have to. That's not a record we have to break. We're not worried about shutouts. And granted, they're great and they give you wins, but we are worried about what we ended up getting anyway, which is a big fat W. Yeah, winning that game was huge. I watched your stream again. Phenomenal job.
Thank you.
I was going to pop on. I was for some reason so exhausted after work, I couldn't keep my eyes open watching your stream. Not that you were boring, but I'm sitting at my desk and just I put my head down a couple of times. Like, I'm tired for some reason. Maybe because it was an 8:30 start. But yeah, next time you do a stream, everyone keep watching. Those are phenomenal streams. But yeah, no, we're not worried about the shutout streak. It's cool that he was able to go on it. He already holds the record. It's hard to break your own, but you do always want to one-up yourself. But yeah, just keeping the puck out of the net for that long it's hard to do, no matter what skill level of goalie you are, I think. But the fact he was able to only give up one, he rebounded from it. Jari did a great job in net on Monday.
He played phenomenally basically all night. He played really well. He was my number one star of the game. He stood on his head for that early portion of the game. Later in the game, the Penguins were able to give him some help, both offensively and as well as in the own zone, kind of just shutting down the Winnipeg Jets offense, which was, coming into this game, a really good offensive team. I mean, you look at their top six, they're as good as basically anybody in the NHL. But the Penguins luckily were able to rebound in the second period. Evan Rodriguez made a really nice play to set up Jason Zucker and tie the game at one. That was Jason Zucker's first goal in 11 games. So nice to see the Clash of Clans character be able to go out and get his first goal in almost a dozen games. There's another Penguins player that is on a goal drought that we'll talk about after we finish discussing this game. But nice to see Jason Zucker put the puck in the back of the net.
Clash of Clans character. We found the other cartoon he looks like, didn't we?
Yeah, he looks like a bunch of... I mean, he doesn't look like the Tasmanian Devil. He just kind of plays like him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of hard to look like the Tasmanian Devil.
I mean, I'm sure there's somebody that does.
Ovechkin comes close.
A lot of people skip leg day and do a lot too many arms, so that's basically what the Tasmanian Devil looks like, isn't it?
Are we talking about Brock Lesnar? Is that what this is?
Exactly what we're talking about is Brock Lesnar. But, no, it was nice to see Jason Zucker score. It didn't feel like it had been 11 games. I mean, just because I feel like the compete level that he has, I mean, I've really enjoyed watching him play this season. Last year was a down year for him. We talk on last episode about, you know, where he should be when Malkin comes back. I still believe the third line is probably what's best for him because it seems like he has the most energy on this entire team out of anybody.
That's fair, and it comes with the mustache, I guess. But it could also just be that chemistry's building with Jeff Carter. I didn't see it. Was Carter credited with an assist there?
He was not. It was Evan Rodriguez and John Marino.
Okay. Still, I think that's a solid third line, regardless of who plays with them on the other wing. Zucker and Carter's pretty solid. That's a good veteran presence third line, and it's a... It's not your shutdown third line, but that's what our fourth line does. And just doesn't have to be that third line. They're the fourth line that can get it done for a couple extra minutes if you need to. Sure, you take a few minutes away from Carter by doing that, or Zucker by doing that, but I don't think that's the end of the world. He's, like you mentioned, he's got the most energy. He's able to make good use of the time he's being given. And I think that's going to speak volumes no matter what line he ends up being on.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think there's a lot of people that are still saying Jason Zucker is kind of trade bait in Pittsburgh, and realistically, I mean, if there's anybody, maybe Jason Zucker, but I don't know if there's anybody on this team right now that's trade bait. I mean, I haven't heard anything to the contrary of the fact that I haven't even heard anything about the Penguins looking for a trade partner right now.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I was talking about. It's just you don't know if obviously a trade has to happen.
At some point, you would imagine.
We just, yeah, it's just inevitable usually. But you just don't know who it would be. We don't know what it would be for. It's been a weird, like, throughout the league, it seemed like there hasn't been too many trade rumors except for Brock Besser this morning.
And JT Miller has been in the rumor mill a lot, too.
He's been there for a while, though. That's different. Because we discussed last season, like, you know, Pedersen's the big one. Well, we just don't know. I mean, granted, he still could be one because we kind of have a weird surplus of defensemen, but when you realize Chad Ruedel's the one that is in regularly, how much of a surplus really is it? Are guys like Joseph and or Friedman actually ready? Our defensive core is weird, so who knows exactly, but Pedersen's been pulled from that list pretty much.
I mean, Pedersen's been probably the best defensive defenseman for the Penguins this year. I mean, I have to look at the analytic numbers, but eye test-wise, I feel like he's played a lot better than definitely Brian Dumoulin, who has had a good couple of games, and he played pretty well in Winnipeg. But overall, I think Marcus Pettersson and maybe even John Marino, who's like quietly putting together a really good season. I mean, those two guys have been really good for the Penguins on the blue line.
Exactly. So, like, Pettersson's been pulled off that list. Putting Zucker on it again, it's not shocking. I feel like that's a player that if he's able to pick up, you can get a lot of value for.
Yeah.
But again, we're not saying, hey, trade him because we need value. We're just saying it might just become the one that makes the most sense all of a sudden.
And who knows? Maybe you trade him for, I mean, maybe picks and prospects to try to refill the cabinet. If you see a guy like Valtteri Puustinen continuing to play well in the AHL, and you think, yeah, he could slot into where Jason Zucker is, but that's a dangerous game of starting to move out sure NHL pieces for young guys that you don't know how they're going to adjust to the NHL level. So that, I mean, that's a dangerous game, but that's just the only thing that I can really see them trading around right now. I mean, I might be completely missing something, but it doesn't seem like the Pittsburgh Penguins are very much in trade talks with anybody for anybody at this point. Maybe a backup goaltender because, I mean, Casey DeSmith is he's struggling, but I think they give him another shot, obviously, because he's earned it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely earned it. He at least deserves the chance to attempt to collect his first win. If we hit five and that doesn't come around, okay, maybe we pull the plug. Or figure something out. I don't know. That's, we get it. Backups aren't supposed to be the good goalies, but Jesus. Make a save. Yeah.
So to finish off this game, obviously, in the third period, the game was tied at one, and then Danton Heinen gets the game-winning goal in the third period. A nice little play off a rebound. Finally, the Penguins were starting to get rebounds. They were starting to get second chances on Connor Hellebuck, and Danton Heinen is able to take advantage, make it a 2-1 game about halfway through the third period, and the Penguins were able to hold it pat the rest of the game. Jake Guentzel as an empty netter. Tristan Jarry gets an assist on that one, so a nice little added boost for him to end the road trip. And Jake Guentzel now goals in five straight games. He's certainly heating up. He has eight on the year now.
Five in a row. This is what we wanted. This is what we've been waiting for. The old one of the two that we said, hey, they need to step up in the time of Crosby and Malkin absence. Well, Crosby's back, and he seems to be getting there. He's kept collecting his speed. Still capping, and he had a good little bump, but at least he's picking up assists. He's got like 11 points this year. It's not been totally god-awful. But Guentzel, for a little while, I mean, we just didn't know what was going on there. No scoring. He scored in his first game, but no goals to follow for, I think, like six or seven? It's quite a few, but now he's gone five straight. So, yeah, he's back where we want him. We don't expect him to be, like, the league's goal leader or anything. Maybe the team.
Not this season with what Ovechkin and Dreisaitl and even freaking Andrew Mangiapane in Calgary are doing.
Yeah. No, it's... But at least maybe this team's goals leader. And we don't expect that many goals from this team, shockingly, when you look around at things. I mean, we don't expect us to possess the three or four 30-goal scorers. Mm-hmm. We absolutely can. It's just a matter of that turning around. But we like seeing the spread. We like having everyone contribute. That has been the name of the Penguins game. It's not like Edmonton where it's, hey, they have these two very good players and then there's just a drop-off. It's a gradual decline down the lineup. Everyone contributes somewhere.
Yeah, and I'll have to actually look into it. It's been a while since I believe a defenseman has actually scored a goal for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Just thinking about that now, I feel like it's been a little while. But I'll double-check that after we get off this recording. But Guentzel was the best Penguin all night. He had several chances, including one in the first 30 seconds of the game where he dished it over to Sidney Crosby. And for the most part, Connor Hellebuck was able to shut him down most of the night. I mean, Guentzel waited till Hellebuck was on the bench to be able to pot in that empty netter. But still, they all count the same. And also, Jake Guentzel, for the third time in what seems like 3 weeks, just completely truck stick to goaltender.
Come on, there. Gotta find that mute button. I don't know why I'm hitting it today. It's quiet here. I saw someone posted a thread of every time he's done it this season, and it's been quite a lot.
Yeah, he did it to, I believe, Jacob Markstrom of Calgary. He definitely did it on Monday, and then he did it one other time, and I can't remember. But he is he's driving
hard.
Overtime
once.
Yeah, it was an overtime because we took a penalty.
Yeah.
Oh, it was against Florida. He's... Because I was, yeah. It was against Florida in overtime. We killed it, and then we won in a shootout.
Oh, yeah, Zach game. Yeah, I mean, hey, crash the net, drive the net, don't take a penalty,
yeah,
right?
I mean, he did.
I mean, most of the goal, I think one of the, someone was asked about it. I forget which goalie now. It may have been Bobrovsky.
It might have been.
Was asked, and he said, nothing, no harm, no fouls. You know, you're playing a hard game. It's part of the sport. Yeah. I mean, maybe Kensel's doing it a little more often than normal, but it is still part of the game. Even in, you know, like, I play deck hockey now. You remember playing with Chris. He still, you know, doesn't know how to stop while running sometimes. So I've seen him run a goalie over, so, or two, or three or four. So it's a thing that just happens in the game. So it's totally normal. You just got to play it safe. And as long as there are no ill intentions there, I don't see an issue with it. And as long as no one's getting hurt, again, no issue. Just don't make it a penalty. Don't make it an issue. And do it to Jordan Binnington one time, please.
I don't know. Jake Ensel might be hitting the head with a stick if that happens. But no, still nice to see him score, get five straight games going. And Tristan Jarry was also fantastic all night. We already mentioned that, especially early on. He stood on his head and kept the Penguins in it when the team wasn't necessarily playing its best and let the team get their chance to get their feet underneath them. And that's why the Pittsburgh Penguins were able to come out with their third straight victory. Jarry made 30 saves on 31 shots on Monday, a couple of big ones against Nikolai Ehlers, Andrew Kopp, and Pierre Dubois. It would have been a couple of great opportunities, but it seemed like he missed the net every single time on Monday. But the Penguins, that is their first win this season, as we mentioned, after giving up the first goal of the game. That now makes them 1-5-1. So we're moving on up, Horwat. We're moving on up before the Pittsburgh Penguins finally getting that win. And that ends a three-game road trip in Canada, three wins, 3-0-0, outscoring opponents 11-1 in those games. A couple other tidbits. Tristan Jarry stopped 80 of 81 shots on this current road trip as he played in all three games. He moves up, I mean, the entire team moves up in the standings to fifth in the Metropolitan Division. And even though it is early, even though it is American Thanksgiving, the Penguins are back in a playoff spot as of right now. After the beginning of the season they had, we're about a quarter of the way through now, and the Penguins still sitting in a playoff spot.
That's pretty close to ideal. That is, we're nearing that point of the year where it's, all right, make or break time. Either this is where you're going to be, or you fire your coach and go on a run. Mm-hmm. We're hitting that season. It's, but again, we're hitting that season, and not too many other teams are making trades yet. So this is going to be an interesting little run for the league. And as for the Penguins, yeah, being in this, being in a playoff position now, it is the closest to ideals we're going to get at this moment, and we'll take it.
So, I mean, a couple quick questions here, miscellaneous discussion questions that we're going to throw out here on Thanksgiving. First and foremost, how big was this road trip for the Penguins?
That was huge. Huge. Montreal, sure, not good. Missing two of their future Hall of Famers, probably. But beating them decisively like that was huge for the morale within the locker room, huge for getting an important win like that under the belt, huge to bring the fan base back into it. Pulling into Toronto on Hockey Night in Canada on a Saturday night, shutting them out, making them look not silly, but just playing a good hockey game, period. That's how that game looked. 2-0, good victory, two shutouts in a row. And then we go to Winnipeg, where it's another hot team, but like I said before, they were coming off of a two-game losing streak at the time, but still, they're still a team that can hurt you in more ways than one, and Tristan Jarry played phenomenally again. Gave one up. Who cares, though? We got the win, and the team just is starting to look better. That's what we've been looking for.
The two games at the beginning of this road trip, I mean, you play Montreal, you absolutely blow the doors off Montreal, which you love to stack a couple of those nice blowout victories. It gives your team a lot of confidence, especially early on in a road trip. Give your team a little bit of confidence, give them a little bit of life going into the rest of the travel. Get a big win on Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, at Toronto. That's huge for the team's morale. Obviously, Sidney Crosby and Chris Letang and all those Canadian players love playing in the big lights, bright lights in Canada. You see the jerseys that Canada just had out. I can't wait to hopefully probably get a Sidney Crosby one. Honestly, one of those black Canadian jerseys. They're beautiful. But nonetheless, nice win. And then being able to finish it off against the Winnipeg Jets was also really a really good move for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And why this road trip was important, we mentioned it at the outset last week. We both said, you know, maybe what this team needs, now that they're at full health, minus Evgeny Malkin, of course, maybe what this team needs is a road trip. Spend some time on the road. Spend some time away from their families. Get on the road. Get around the team. Meet everybody a little bit more and start to kind of play as a unit. It's what we saw. I mean, it's a short road trip. The first game was last Thursday. They're already back in Pittsburgh for a game against the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, that was ended up being last night, but we're recording this before that game. But it was a good road trip for the Penguins, and it's something that we're going to see if they can build upon, and if they can, they're going to keep moving up the standings.
Yeah, and Vancouver's what?
No, Vancouver's having an awful season.
Okay, good. Nice. All right, we need another little easy one like that. Bring it home for the Thanksgiving holiday, and then it's off to New York, yep. Correct? They're the 26th.
Islanders right. On Friday, and then Saturday night they play the Canadiens once again.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're back-to-back?
I believe so, yes.
Oh. Okay.
So we're going to see Casey DeSmith at the end of this week at some point. Probably.
A lot more to discuss on Monday.
I was about
Monday.
To say probably on Saturday against the Habs, I would think. But you never know.
That would make the most sense.
I do have one more question for you, Horwat. Are you concerned at all? Because I'm getting a little concerned. I'm going to start this by saying I'm a little bit concerned about what I'm seeing. But are you concerned at all that Brian Rust has been scoreless since the opening game against the Tampa Bay Lightning and his only goal was an empty net goal? Does that concern you at all right now?
To be fair, I didn't notice.
Really?
Huh. I have not noticed that. Well, now that I know that, kind of. But we've also seen Russ do this before.
We have. Yeah, a couple seasons ago.
The issue this year is it's a contract year.
I mean, that's an issue for him.
Yeah.
And if you're the Penguins, you're like, that number's going down.
It's an issue for him and, the seed has been planted in my head. Hey, Brian Rust isn't doing well. He's in a contract year. Screw Jason Zucker being on the trade block. Brian Rust, well, come on
down. I don't know. I feel like he still carries a little bit more value being a guy that's over a 20-goal scorer the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, but now that that season planted in my head, I'll be keeping an eye out for it. But for now, I didn't notice. So I guess it wasn't a concern at the moment. But now that you've said it, it's something I will be watching for and looking for. How many assists does he have? Because again,
let me double check that. But he also, remember, he did miss some time during this game.
He missed some time. I remember that too. You're right.
Let me pull it up really quickly. But I mean, still, the fact that he hasn't beaten an actual goaltender to me, a little bit nerve-wracking. But at the same time, that whole first line has kind of struggled a little bit.
It is not
one
ideal.
Goal, seven assists in 11 games played.
Hey, in 11 games, it's not terrible. You do expect more, and maybe he just needs his time to get there. I don't know. I straight up just didn't realize that, but it's something that I will be watching out for now. Yeah.
I mean, as long as it's similar to what somebody asked me a question on that stream on Monday, and it was a Jets fan saying, is Blake Wheeler a liability or an asset? Because he has not scored at all this year. And I was like, well, it depends what he's doing. And if he's making small plays, like he was forechecking on the one play, and I said, if he's doing stuff like that and he caused an opportunity, and it's the same thing with Brian Rust. If he's forechecking well, if he's creating some space, if he's doing things like he did for Sidney Crosby in the opening period of the Montreal game, setting up an easy tap-in goal, then it's not an issue. But it's something that we need to keep an eye on because Brian Rust is paid to score goals. And we said that he might be a 30-goal scorer this year. This might be the first time that he cracks 30 goals. As of right now, he is yet to beat an actual goaltender. So a little bit concerned. That's where I stand right now. But we'll see how he plays as the games progress here.
That's fair. I mean, your answer for the Blake Wheeler thing is fairly accurate for Brian Rust as well. Is what is he doing away from the puck then? Which Brian Rust is doing good things away from the puck, I think, from what I remember. He hasn't had a bad season per se. He just isn't scoring. And also, that question came from a Jets fan because, Blake Wheeler is coming off a minus 17 season.
Yeah, that's also true. But, plus minus is what you make of it. But once you get to, I think we said, 15 in each direction, that's when you start saying, That's actually starting to say something about the way you play the game. Because you can be a minus two and just be very unlucky, and every time you step on the ice, the other team gets a really good opportunity. It's not your fault. But like, once you get to minus 16, minus 17, that's starting to be a little indicative of the way you play the game.
Once you get into green jacket territory, you got to start worrying.
Yeah, exactly. So a good win for the Pittsburgh Penguins, a good road trip for the Pittsburgh Penguins in Canada. They continue. Of course, everybody that's listening to this has already seen them play the Vancouver Canucks the night before Thanksgiving. But this weekend, they do have a couple more games. They play, who do we mention? The New York Islanders, first game at UBS Arena for the Penguins on Friday, and then they take on the Montreal Canadiens. I believe that is at home. So back at PPG Paints Arena. So we're going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll finish this episode like we finish every single Thursday episode. Shoutouts and callouts right after the break.
The NHL season is underway, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer to celebrate the greatest sport on ice. New customers can bet just $1 on any NHL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. Doesn't matter if it's a one-time clapper or a deft deflection, however they light the lamp, you win. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with the DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NHL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a goal. This week, one puck in the net nets you a big win with promo code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by the Hockey Podcast Network and DraftKings. Make sure you use promo code THPN at the DraftKings Sportsbook app for great odds and opportunities. Horat, we're doing shout-outs and call-outs, and because it's Thanksgiving, I'd like to start with my call-out. Are you all right with that?
That's perfectly fine. Always end on a good note.
I mean, end on a good note, but I want to start out talking about Thanksgiving football. Thanksgiving football this year is not good.
Again? I think you had the same call-out last year.
And, I mean, it's hard. This year at least, we get the Dak Prescott-led Dallas Cowboys instead of whoever it was last year, Cooper Rush or
Dalton.
Was it Andy Dalton? It was Andy Dalton.
Was he himself hurt?
He might have been hurt. But, I mean, joke's on us because Andy Dalton might be starting for the Chicago Bears in the 12 o'clock slot against the Detroit Lions. I don't know how Justin Fields is doing after last week when he got injured. But Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, neither team really has a snowball's chance in hell in making the playoffs. The Bears have put two of the most boring games back-to-back in the last 2 weeks, one on Monday night against the Steelers, and one, I believe they had a bye. And then they played the Baltimore Ravens, and it took until the last 2 minutes of the game for anybody to score a touchdown. So both teams are a snooze fest this year, so that game is going to be crappy. This is the Lions' best chance to win a game the rest of the season, though. If they lose on Thanksgiving, they might go 0-16-1 this year, which is pathetic.
Well, it's winless, but it's not the 0-16.
You technically have credit for half a win in that tie.
Hell yeah, and you take that.
I mean, if you're the Lions, you definitely do. But the next game on the slate is the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Dallas Cowboys. This is going to be the best game of the day. But again, still, the Cowboys probably going to blow out the Raiders because they're a decent team, but at the same time, I don't think they're in the class of the Cowboys this year. I mean, we'll get to see Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb probably connect for too many yards, but it's not going to be a close game in my opinion. And then, of course, the nightcap, the Buffalo Bills, who two of the past 3 weeks have lost to inferior, I wouldn't say inferior opponents about the Colts, but they lost to the Jags 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago. They barely beat the Dolphins 2 weeks ago at home, and then they got absolutely blown out and gave up 5 touchdowns to Jonathan Taylor last week. So the Bills, hapless, take on the New Orleans Saints, who are led by Trevor Siemian, and are missing their best player in Alvin Kamara. So three games, one maybe good game in the middle of the day, but for the most part, Thanksgiving football is still really bad this year. And I do remember calling it out last year. So yeah, back-to-back years, my call out on Thanksgiving week goes to the NFL slate on Thanksgiving Day.
I think last year made a lot more sense because the Cowboys were bad. The Lions have always been bad. And damn it, this damn tradition that automatically there's going to be two bad teams at least.
Well, the Cowboys.
At least the Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys are good
this
year.
Last year. This year, at least the Cowboys are a little better. But it sucks they got the dinner game. That's the one everyone's eating during.
Yeah, but they always do. They always play at 4 o'clock.
Ah, no one sees it. Everyone's eating.
Yeah, why not put that one at noon? Nobody wants to watch the Lions. Put them at 4.
Time change? Oh, wait, the Lions play... time change situations. I don't know. We live in the East, clearly.
Yes.
Maybe it's not the dinner game for the West Coasters, but anyway. And then that closing game, the leftover game. Yeah, that's not the funnel. That's the one the Steelers usually play in whenever they're on.
Yeah, because they usually don't play the Cowboys or the Lions on Thanksgiving.
Can they get that NBC game?
Yeah. I mean, the last one, never mind. They played the Houston Texans on Christmas Day, I believe. I don't remember. But,
Yes, because I think I was on a plane for it. They were just on Thanksgiving not that long ago, though, I thought.
Yeah, I can't think of it, though. But, that's gonna be bad. So if you're listening to this before those games kick off, do yourself a favor and probably just watch a replay of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's probably gonna be more entertaining anyway.
Hey, it's back in person this
year.
Back with the crowd.
That's a bonus.
Year,
that
believe.
Is a bonus. So, Horwat, what is your call out?
Totally quote me on that. My call out, we're talking about crowds. I'm going to talk about the Grammys because my oh my, every year does this just get worse. First of all, it's all just a money thing. I think we should all realize that. It is all just a money thing.
You can do award shows through the mail.
Multimillionaires. This one will be in person this year. But it's just multimillionaires giving other multimillionaires more money to win to win some gold. So be it. It's the way every award show is. I've stopped watching award shows recently, and my life has become so much more like stress-free. I just been tacking on with other stressful things. But this one, I just wanted to talk about because I do, anytime an award show comes around, I do like at least looking at the nominations to see what, see who's signing some big paychecks. First of all, the big four of the categories are up to 10 nominations this year.
That's too many. I mean, there's barely 10 good albums that come out a year. Like that
exactly.
Level of album. Not just good, but like that level.
It's all about the paycheck you sign. I recently learned that. It really is just all about the paycheck you sign. But I could, one of the categories is best new artist, which I'll get into even deeper in a second. I don't think I could name 10 new artists that are deserving of an award this year.
No.
This is just a bad year to come out for music, to be fair. You're coming out of a pandemic.
Yeah, everybody that was, you know, everybody else in the industry had the entire pandemic to write music, so they're all coming out with new music. And then Taylor Swift's absolutely. I'm coming out with old music, but it seems like new music, and I'm going to make twice as much money on it.
And she's going to win more awards from it. But the one thing I do want to harp on the Grammys a little more for, one of their categories, like I said, is Best New Artist. Tell me why in the world one of the nominees for Best New Artist is Finneas, who, if you're not familiar, is Billie Eilish's brother/producer, who has been producing his own music since 2016.
His own music?
His own music.
I don't know. Maybe new to the mainstream?
Now, he put an album out this year, his first quote-unquote album. It is 9 songs of music that he has already made since 2016. Mm-hmm. I looked into it. He has also already won 8 Grammys.
Yeah, as a producer for Billie Eilish.
That's not a new artist, though.
All right.
Every year this happens. I think Lizzo was up for new artist not that long ago, too. And her song got popular like 4 years after it came out. She didn't win. I don't remember, at least. But still, it's just, no wonder you have 10 spots.
True.
All I know is that he's won 8 Grammys before. He's been making music since 2016. That's not new. That's also not new in the Grammy world. He is the one that gave the speech the 1 year Billie Eilish swept it. He gave one of the speeches, one of the acceptance speeches. Oh, that's not a new artist.
Fair.
Next.
Fair. So let's move over to shout-outs. Before we do that, I'm obviously my shout-out is going to be some jerseys. I do like the Canadian Olympic jerseys. I think that's amazing. But my actual shout-out goes to the New Jersey Devils and their first third jerseys, which I didn't know. I mean, I knew they stuck with the same design for the longest time. I mean, you notice the only thing that ever gets different with them is they have the, like, Christmas jerseys. But that's the only difference. This is their first third jersey, and their fans absolutely hate it. It says jersey across the front side, which, you know what? Yeah, there's the jokes of like, oh, well, glad to know that that's a jersey. Like, thanks for labeling it.
So good.
It makes sense, though. I mean, if you ask somebody from New Jersey, you know, where are you from? They say, oh, we're from Jersey.
Jersey.
I'm not going to try to, like, I'm bad at that accent.
That's how they should have spelled
Joy-Z.
It, too.
J-O-Y-S-E-E. Yeah, that's how they should have spelled it. But I like it. I mean, I like the little red tint to it. I like the all black. I like the fact that they put those stripes on, which I understand is similar to the Chicago Blackhawks 2019 Stadium Series 1. But they actually did it for a reason. The five stripes on the shoulder go for the five players that have their number retired in the New Jersey Devils organization. And how are you really going to diss on a jersey created by Martin Brodeur, the greatest player in your franchise's history? The fans of New Jersey are not happy about it. I'm excited to see it. I think they're wearing it 13 times this season, which is a heaping helping of a New Jersey. But I enjoyed it. I know I'm in the minority, but I enjoyed it. Also, Team USA just put out their Olympic jerseys.
Oh, they did?
And they are they're duty. They're bad. They're
oh, poo-poo. No.
Definitely would rather, 10 out of 10, would rather get a Canadian Olympic jersey than an American Olympic jersey looking at this. So...
Oh, come on. You got to put up a whole video
yeah,
about it.
Yeah, I have a screenshot at the 25-second mark. You see all three.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, no, it's
gracious.
Bad. And not good.
Okay, first of all, that blue one is a Finland jersey.
It is. Yeah, the dark blue with the black striping is a Finland jersey.
Oh, I was talking about the light blue one.
No, that's what it is. Sorry, the light blue. I mean, it's still dark comparatively to regular.
The white one, I swear I've seen, like, rugby players wear that.
I was about to say, this looks like something you would get at American Eagle.
You may as well toss a collar on that white one and call it a long-sleeve golf shirt.
Yes. Yeah, no, it's bad.
And we're keeping the old K-Swiss logo. Love it. Okay. Damn it. I wanted to get a USA jersey this year, too. I was going to have to get an old one.
Or you could just get a Team Canada jersey.
I didn't like those.
I like the black one. I liked all three of them, actually.
It's fair. But anyway, back to the New Jersey jersey.
The New Jersey jersey. Yes.
Yes. I also don't hate it, but I do hate the fact that it is a New Jersey Devils sweater. Just because, hey, they've been begging for a black jersey for how long? You got one. Oh, we hate it. Take it back. I think they could have done better. I don't hate it as a sweater itself. If it was just like a beer league team, hell yeah, it's the coolest one. But it's just something awkward about it, I think.
I don't know. I'm never going to buy it. For one thing, I don't think I don't think there's a player I'd want a jersey of from them, but I do really like Jack Hughes and Dawson Mercer, but...
And you know they're going to make Brodeur ones of this. They make Lemieux ones of all.
That's true. But at the same time, I mean, I don't know. I thought it was nice. When you're going to a third jersey, it's different. And I mean, a lot of New Jersey fans, they haven't ever had a third jersey. They haven't ever had an all-black jersey. And their hopes and their expectations were probably a little bit too high. But I think, I mean, coming from somebody who didn't have any expectations because I didn't even know they were coming out with a third jersey, I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't hate it. I just feel like it could have been executed better.
I mean, we say that about almost every jersey.
Also, the font. What? Come up with something cooler than just cursive.
I mean, it's a. I like that. I don't mind it. I thought it looked good.
I don't hate it. I do like wording. I do like wording just straight across the chat, like baseball style. I do like that. But like, I feel like it's good. It could have just had an extra step and an extra little oomph to get it over the hill for me. I don't hate it.
Well, we'll see what it looks like when it goes on the ice. I don't like when people judge it based on a picture with a white background, because I'm like, that's never going to look like that.
You're right. And you mentioned that you're definitely in the minority of liking it. I'm definitely in the minority of enjoying it. I do love all of the jokes and memes that have come from it.
The joke that the Devils actually went along with and said, we might put this out, and it's a hat. I was like, that is actually a nice hat.
That's good.
I would buy that hat if they had it out. That would be my podcasting hat, because it's just, you know.
That's the other thing, too. The Devils are – they have a good little social media team. Neil Villapiano's talked about it many a time, but even long ago, there was one April Fool's Day. It's where I got my deck hockey name from when they changed their name to the New Jersey Angels. Mm. I said, that's a brilliant idea, and I snapped the logo and used that for my deck hockey jersey for like 5 years. So they've been doing this for a while, and at first, whenever I saw it, I was like, is this a joke? Because they're like known to do shit like this. But you know what? I don't totally hate it. It just could have been better.
All right, Horwath, send us home with your shout out.
Oh, that's right. I haven't done my shout out yet. That one went on for a minute. That was like
Jersey talk always does. Tweet.
Oh, because it's such a polarizing topic in this fucking landscape we're in. But I'll make mine kind of quick because I'm just shouting out Peter Jackson, and I haven't seen it yet because it comes out on Thanksgiving. The work he did on the Beatles Get Back documentary, 3 parts on Disney Plus, taking hours and hours and hours. I think it's like a couple hundred hours of footage from the recordings of that album from 1969, that basically he wanted to make the original Let It Be documentary better. Yeah. By God, so far it looks like he's doing it, because this was the most tumultuous time in the Beatles' legacy, if anybody knows anything about this damn group. It should be fun. Paul McCartney's already said it's way better than the Let It Be doc, and it's just, I'm looking forward to seeing, in what everyone knows as the most tumultuous time in the Beatles' legacy, how much fun they still had, because that's what all these previews have looked like. These are just guys having fun. Yeah, there's that little part where George leaves, but everyone is aware of that. It's going to be interesting to see. I love behind-the-scenes music stuff, too. Like, I'm super amped to see just, anytime I see a video, it's like, hey, here's us just sitting in the recording studio. I'm like, I'm fully invested. Take all my money. Thankfully, I am already paying for Disney Plus, so I will be able just to watch this. It's probably how I will kill Thanksgiving rather than watching the 8 o'clock game.
Well, yeah, that's probably a better idea, to be completely honest. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will be back on Monday to break down all 3 of the Pittsburgh Penguins games that will happen between this very moment of recording and that moment of recording on Monday morning. But we'll see you guys next week. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Have a good weekend, Pens fans.
You can follow us on Twitter at NickHorwath41 and at Nick_Berlansky. You can also follow the show's Twitter handle at Iceberg Podcast. This podcast can be found anywhere you get your podcasts from, so please subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts. We are brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. You can visit them on Twitter at HockeyPodNet or at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Every team, everywhere.